Well, good morning, City Light, and happy Resurrection Day. My name is Doug, and I get to follow our risen, alive, death couldn't hold him down, the grave couldn't keep him back, resurrected Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with all of you. Sure, he died. Let the record stand. It was real. It was true. He died. But then he came back to life. And I get the awesome, incredible privilege this morning of telling you about this God-man named Jesus who lived some 2,000 years ago. He healed people, taught people, loved people, performed countless miracles. But the religious leaders and the government rulers, they weren't cool with Jesus. So they killed Jesus. They lied about him, falsely accused him, mocked and beat him, scourged and whipped him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They nailed his wrists and his feet to a rugged cross, and there he hung on that cross till his death. Jesus suffered under the weight of torture and sin until he breathed his last, heart stopped beating, lungs stopped breathing, brain stopped waving, and he truly died. They took his body down off the cross, wrapped it in some linens with some spices, put it in a borrowed tomb, rolled a ginormous stone in front of that tomb, put a bunch of soldiers there in front of the tomb to guard it, doing everything they could to try to keep that man in that grave. But too bad for them, Jesus Christ came back to life. For the glory of the Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he sat up and stood up in his own grave, rolled the stone away, and walked out a free man, totally alive, complete resurrection. Jesus doesn't just have life, Jesus is life. But let's be honest, you weren't there to see all that. We weren't there to watch all that happen. So how do we know that it actually happened? How do we know that it isn't just like religious passion and some spiritual theory that somebody made up to keep us all in line? How do we know that it happened? And I know, I get it. It's Easter Sunday and I'm fired up and you're dressed up, right? And we're all excited. It's Easter Sunday. But I also know that it won't be long until real life sets back in. Those financial struggles, they're going to pop back up. Those relation conflicts, they're going to flare back up. The mental health struggles will hold you back down. The job is no fun. The stress is overwhelming. You're exhausted. And life is life. I get it. And before long, the chances are the resurrection of some man 2,000 years ago is going to feel about as relevant to our lives as an Easter bunny who likes to hunt for eggs. So did the resurrection really happen? And if it did, why does a resurrection of some dude 2,000 years ago, how does it make a dent in our day today? These are questions that people have been asking for a long time. Was the resurrection real? Does it really matter? People were asking these questions just shortly after Jesus left the earth, way back in the first century. And thankfully, a man named John wrote a little letter to some of his friends to help reconnect them to the resurrection life of Jesus. You see, John, whenever Jesus was on the earth, he walked with Jesus and talked with Jesus. He was one of Jesus' best friends. And now that Jesus had left the earth, John wanted his friends to know and follow Jesus. And so he wrote them this letter that we've come to call 1 John. And in the first four verses of this letter, John gives us four reasons to buy into the resurrection life of Jesus. Four reasons to not throw Jesus under the bus of busyness. Four reasons to actually buy into Jesus, not sideline him, but worship him as truly alive. So if you've got your Bibles, open them, or on your phone, open that up and go to 1 John chapter 1. We will start in verse 1. Here's the first reason that John gives us to buy into the resurrection of Jesus. He says, this is real life. The resurrected, back from the dead life of Jesus, he says, is real. It's not fake news. It's not spiritual sensationalism. John says it like this in 1 John 1:1. That's a lot of ones. Wow. Anyways, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. So John heard the resurrected Jesus with his real ears. He saw the resurrected Jesus with his human eyes, touched the resurrected Jesus with his hands. John is saying this is real life. You see, after Jesus died, he didn't like magically disappear where nobody could see him and he went back up to heaven but sent some stone tablets down to his followers that said, hey guys, so sorry you didn't get to see me after my resurrection. I had to get out real fast, but trust me, it really happened. No, that's not how it went. The Bible says that after his death, Jesus walked around and revealed himself. He appeared to more than 500 people in history. He showed himself to them. He was seen and touched and heard. This was real life. Jesus ate some fish. He spoke some words, right? He walked some steps on planet Earth after his death and resurrection. He wasn't a Star Wars hologram or a Jedi hallucination. He wasn't like a cardboard cutout that people were carrying around or some video where he figured out the tech on how to fake all of us. John's saying, no, this was real life. I saw him after his death. On July 20, 1969, just over 50 years ago, a man named Neil took a step out of a space aircraft and onto the moon. A man walked on the moon. I mean, that doesn't just happen, right? And if you were alive at the time, chances are you remember where you were when it happened. My mom was watching it on black and white television with her parents at their house. My dad was working his job at the local appliance store, making about $1.50 an hour. My friend Arnie, he was on vacation to Minnesota when it happened. I mean, this was a global phenomenon, a global event, and you remember where you were when it happened. But again, let's be honest, you weren't there. Not on the moon anyway, so how do we know that it actually happened? Most of us, hundreds of millions of Americans, believe that the moon landing was real and true, but there's a percentage of us, about 10%, some 30 million Americans, who believe the whole thing was just a hoax, a fake. It's not real. So how do we know that it actually happened? Well, I can tell you one person who did know if it actually happened, and his name is Neil Armstrong, right? He was the eyewitness source. It was his foot that stepped on that moon dirt. It was his ears that heard the moon sounds or silence. It was his eyes that beheld the American flag that he planted in the moon floor. If anyone could tell us if the moon landing was real, it's Neil Armstrong. We weren't there, but he was. And here in 1 John, John is like Neil Armstrong for us. He's writing to a bunch of people who weren't there to see the resurrected Jesus, and they couldn't know for sure if it's real. And so John's telling them, hey, I'm the eyewitness source here. I saw him with my eyes. I heard him with these ears. I touched him with these hands. And now John's writing a letter to let the world know that the resurrection life of Jesus was and is real life. To John, the resurrection wasn't just like some religious story that got passed down from his grandparents to his parents and eventually found its way to him. To John, the resurrection wasn't just something stuck in the pages of a Bible or a religious coloring book or that felt board that the Sunday school teachers always pulled out back in the 1990s, right? To John, the resurrection was what he saw and experienced and knew and felt and heard. It was and is real life. And this resurrection was so real and punchy and powerful to John that it changed his life. And I believe this morning it can change your life too. You may have come in here just to check the church box on a religious holiday, but I believe that because Jesus is resurrected, he can change your life from here on out. You may have come in here just to like pay your dues to that guy named Jesus, but hear me. Jesus doesn't want you to pay your dues. Jesus came to pay your dues. Jesus came to pay for your sin and pay your debt and give you a new life with a new purpose and new power to live in him and for him. This life is real life. That's the first reason John gives us to buy into the resurrection of Jesus. He continues, and the second reason he gives us to let the resurrection of Jesus make a dent in our day today is that this is original life. This is original life. Jesus isn't some copycat or wannabe or knockoff brand. Jesus is original life. Go back to 1 John 1, right at the front of verse 1. It says, that which was from the beginning. And then down towards the tail end of verse 2, it says, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. John saying that the resurrection life of Jesus, get this, the resurrection life of Jesus is the same as the life source, the life power that was there with God before the creation of the world. He was with the Father before there were ever any mountains or oceans or valleys or cornfields or turkeys or penguins or panda bears, right? Jesus is original life. We all have our favorite originals, don't we? Like for me in high school, my favorite original was definitely Dr. Pepper, okay? I loved Dr. Pepper. There was one time I actually paused to see just how much Dr. Pepper I was drinking, and it came to, like, just average, right? I was in high school, like 6 Dr. Peppers a day or more than 40 a week, okay? In the words of Lloyd Christmas, I liked it a lot, all right? I loved Dr. Pepper, but sometimes I would go to a place where they didn't have Dr. Pepper, and I would have to order Mr. Pibb. Or God forbid, my mom would come home from the grocery store with a case of Dr. Thunder. That was painful, wasn't it? You know, painful, right? I wanted the original, and no cheap knockoff brand could ever be as good as the original. We all have our favorite originals, and we cherish the original, right? The original is where the genius is, where the goodness is, where we got our first taste, our first love. And John here is saying, man, listen, Jesus' life is the original life. But not original in the sense that it was the first life created. Oh, no. Jesus is even more original than that. Jesus' life was original life in the sense that it was his life that originated all other life. In John's gospel, he writes it like this. All things were made through Jesus, and without Jesus was not anything made that was made. In other words, there's about 8.7 million species of life on our planet, all made by Jesus and through Jesus. There's somewhere between 100 and 400 billion stars in our Milky Way galaxy, all made by Jesus and through Jesus. There's 7.6 billion souls on our planet right now, all made by Jesus and through Jesus. Do you know what that means? It means that the resurrection wasn't a struggle for Jesus. Like it wasn't a tough day on the job or a rough day at the office, right? Jesus didn't have to hope that his like batteries charged fast enough or the power source lasted long enough or the tesseract opened a gap big enough for him to come back to life. No, because Jesus is original life. The resurrection was a walk in the park for him. And do you know what else that means? It means that it's not a struggle for Jesus to give you resurrection life. He has all the power and all the life to give away, including to you. Jesus isn't like wringing his hands or tensing his shoulders or holding his head in his hands and going, please, someone throw me a bone, help me out. How do I give resurrection life to this person? No, because Jesus is original life. He can powerfully, fully, abundantly give you his life. Have you run out of options? Have you come up empty? Have you run out of power? Jesus never has, and Jesus never will, and he will gladly give his resurrection life to you. So John says, man, we can buy into this resurrection of Jesus because it's real life and it's original life. John goes on in his letter and he gives us a third reason, and that's this. It's shared life. It's shared life. And here's what I mean. The resurrection of Jesus isn't stuck in the pages of history. Right? It isn't stuck back in that time frame or that time period. It isn't even stuck in the pages of the Bible. The resurrection life of Jesus is available and it is shared in our community today. Let me show it to you in the Bible. Look at 1 John 1, verse 3. He writes this, that which we have seen and heard, right? This real original life of Jesus, we proclaim also to you. Why? so that you too, you reader of this letter, whoever you might be, whenever you might read it, so that you too may have fellowship with us. Now, fellowship is just a big Bible word for shared life, okay? This is what we share. So that you too may have fellowship with us. Okay, John, what is that fellowship? Describe it to me. He says, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So John's saying that he has this fellowship, this shared life with God, right? He shares life with God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ. And John is also saying that anyone who reads this letter and buys into its message, puts his trust, her trust, in the resurrection power of Jesus, can also enjoy and have that fellowship, that shared life with God the Father and God the Son. And the way that shared life gets spread to others is by communities coming together who buy into the life of Jesus that was revealed to us. Okay, that was wordy. That was pretty theologic-y, okay? So let me boil it down this way. The resurrection life of Jesus is still breathing and pulsing and moving and shaking and rolling stones away and walking out of graves and bringing the dead back to life in us, through us. The resurrection life of Jesus awakens and empowers and enlivens us. And when I say us, I mean us, right? Listen, I don't get resurrected by Jesus and then keep doing life on my own. Me and Jesus, we're tight, but we're doing this alone. No, I get resurrected by Jesus and then I share that resurrection life with you. And we share that resurrection life with your friends and they share it with their family and they share it with their neighbors. And before long, we got a whole community coming together to enjoy this resurrection life of Jesus together. It is shared life. And that means because of the resurrection of Jesus, you will never walk alone. You have a family to belong to. Can I invite you this morning to join Jesus' family and walk with Jesus' family? The way you join Jesus' family is by believing his resurrection power and following his resurrected life. My guess is that many of you mentally and maybe even spiritually buy into Jesus. Right? Like you would say, yeah, he's real life. He's original life. I'm down with that. Me and Jesus, we're tight. But you're not quite so sure about shared life with Jesus' family. Right? You can't quite buy into shared life with Jesus' family. It's just a little too dangerous. Because there's that thing that happened when you were younger and you got hurt by the church. Right? The youth group cut you out or they cut you down. There's that lady who looks like a super saint on Sunday with her hands raised, but she's a jerk all week at the office. Or the preacher who never smiles and he always seems angry, and who wants to be a part of that? And so you're like, no, I can buy into Jesus. He's real. He's original. Me and Jesus, we're tight. We can do this on our own. But I can't quite buy into shared life with Jesus' family. And I'm inviting you back this morning. As much as you can, take a step. Take that step back towards shared life with Jesus' family. This last year, I get it, right? It's been like a year of exhaustion, confusion, isolation. And even if you were woven into the fabric of Jesus' family before COVID, many of us, we feel isolated and alone now. And even if you had dear friends to follow Jesus together with before COVID, there's a good chance you lost some of those friends now. So you're saying, I just don't know if I can step back into that. And I'm inviting you back into this. Be a part of shared life with Jesus' family. Join one of our city groups, whether it's an online city group or an in-person city group. I mean, reach back out to those people you haven't talked to in months. Call that old friend that you need to be restored to. Let them forgive you where you forgive them. Pray that God would heal those real hurts. I get it. The real hurts that the church leaders caused you. And as much as you can take a step back towards shared life with Jesus' family. I want to be gracious. I want to be gentle because I know the hurt and the confusion and the isolation is real. But make a commitment today to yourself and to the resurrected King Jesus that you will take a step back towards shared life. Not because the church is perfect. Far from it, right? Like, I'm a pastor. I get all the imperfections of our church. Or actually, I got some blind spots. I don't know all the imperfections of our church, but you could sure tell me all the imperfections that I don't see, right? We're not perfect. And not because there's a guarantee it's going to go more smoothly this time. I'm just inviting you back because the resurrection life of Jesus is real, it's original, and it is shared life. Okay, John gives us one last reason to buy into the resurrection of Jesus and let it make a dent in our day to day. Here it is. This is eternal life. This is eternal life. John says, let me see, in verse 2. John says, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you, here it is, the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. John ends up writing quite a bit about how life with Jesus is eternal life in this little letter. He mentions it at least 6 times in just 5 chapters. And in 1 John, John clearly teaches that eternal life, it's for today, right? Like Jesus' resurrection life is real life today. It's original life today. It is shared life that's meant to be enjoyed by his community, by us here in our place, in our time, in Council Bluffs, in this year. It's for today. But John also clearly teaches, he celebrates, he cherishes that Jesus' resurrection life is eternal. It isn't temporary. It can't get stopped. Satan can't thwart it. Death can't hold it down. Fear can't crush it. Jesus' resurrection life that he gives to you and to me is forever, ongoing, eternal, and without end. And just as much as we celebrate that Jesus' resurrection life is good news for today, we also celebrate that Jesus' resurrection life is good news forever. Let me ask, who did you have to say goodbye to this last year? Like that final goodbye, you know? Like, I had to say goodbye to the mom of a girl in our church. I had to say goodbye to a 1-year-old baby boy of some friends of mine. I had to say goodbye to our neighbor. I had to say goodbye to this sweet lady in our church. She used to always have her friends over to her apartment. They'd watch the live streams together. She'd bring them donuts. It was awesome. I had to say goodbye to this man who had married a lady in our church, was an awesome husband. He was an awesome stepdad to her children, an awesome grandpa to her grandchildren. He influenced 3 generations in our church, and we had to say goodbye to him this year. And so many goodbyes like that. First, it's like they make me realize that there will come a day when some people are going to have to say goodbye to me. And so many goodbyes like that, oh, they make me long for eternal life. Don't they? They make me ache for eternal life. And Jesus' eternal life means that one day all those goodbyes get turned into good to see you again. For those who follow Jesus and believe his resurrection life, Jesus doesn't only make today matter, Jesus makes forever glorious. Do you know this? Have you heard? It's plain in the Bible that eternal life with Jesus will be real. It will be good. It will be fun and enjoyable. Please hear this. Eternal life with Jesus is not us being these floating spirits up on our own little cloud with our own little harp and some wings strapped to our shoulders. No, that's not in the Bible. Eternal life with Jesus will be real and shared and original. It will be incredible. Listen, we will have new bodies way, way, way better bodies than we've got right now. We will get to say goodbye to COVID and pandemics and family rivalries and war and division between friends and depression and sickness and death. We say goodbye to all that, and we get to say hello to some dear friends who also chose to follow Jesus in their lives. We get to say hello to pure motives. Oh God, I long for that. We get to say hello to righteous living, enjoying our work, unending joy. We get to say hello to the very face of our risen, alive, glorious, reigning, ruling, resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Eternal life with Jesus will be incredible. And I so long for you to have this resurrection life with Jesus. Oh, I so desire for you to know his real, original, shared, eternal life. Nothing could make me happier. Or as John wrote in verse 4, we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. So that my joy and your joy and the family member who invited you this week, so that our joy may be complete. So here's my preacher request, all right? It's Easter. You know the preacher's going to ask you to do something, right? Here's my preacher request. Will you consider the resurrection of Jesus and let it make a dent in your day today? Will you lean into the resurrection power of Jesus and just invite him, all right? Just get started. Just invite him to start changing your life. Will you let today go beyond the Easter bunnies and Easter eggs and Easter brunches? That stuff's fun. My family's going to do it too. Would you let it go beyond that, and would you let the resurrected King Jesus even resurrect you? Would you pray with me? Oh, Heavenly Father, I ask that you would be doing that very work, a resurrection work, even now in our midst, in this room, in the live stream spaces, in people's living rooms and kitchens, bedrooms. Oh, would you be doing a resurrection work among us? Call people out from death and into life. Call people away from sin and into faith in you. Would you do it, Lord? And friends, even as we're praying, you can keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. Even as we're praying, I just want to spell it out really clear and simple. What does it mean to follow Jesus? It's as simple as ABC. A, you admit that you're a sinner. You've tried to do life on your own, pushed God away, given him the stiff arm, disobeyed him, fallen short of his standards. Just admit, be honest with God, man. Why play games with him? Admit that you're a sinner. B, believe on Jesus. Who can deal with that sin? Jesus can. Who is worthy? Jesus is. Believe on Jesus to forgive your sins, wash you away, and give you a brand new life. Then C, commit your life to Jesus. This isn't a fling. This isn't a fad. I mean, this is forever. Commit your life to Jesus. And if that's you and you want to do that today, you can just pray in your own mind a prayer something like this after me. Father in heaven, I admit to you that I'm a sinner, that I've done life on my own and tried to live apart from you. I admit that I've fallen short of your standards. And so, God, I believe on Jesus. I'm not just mentally saying he existed. I'm believing Jesus to make me new. I'm believing Jesus to forgive my sins. I'm believing Jesus to make me good. And I commit the rest of my life to you, God. I'm living for you from here on out. I'm living with you. Would you give me the power to follow you? In Jesus' name. Oh, Father, would you bring that resurrection life to so many? And then, Father, I also just want to pray for my friends in the room and on the screen who feel hurt by the church. Somewhere along the line, the church messed them up or hurt them. Oh, Jesus, I just ask, would you begin the work of healing and restoration in them? I know it takes time. There's a lot of steps. And many times it feels like slow going. Oh, Jesus, would you just begin the work of healing so that they can take a step back towards shared life with your family. Thank you, Father, so much for your grace to us and your goodness. in the resurrection of Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.